Okay. The message for today comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 13 through 33. Mark 4, 13 through 33. And this is what it says. Jesus is just, he's sitting in a boat close to the shore, and this huge crowd of people have pressed around him. And he is teaching them from just from a boat in the edge of the water. And he has just told them the parable of the sower and the soils. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. This is the word of the Lord. Word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. May it do its work in us today. The kingdom of God is by definition the community of citizens who live under the rulership of God. It is a spiritual kingdom. At one place, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. It is a kingdom that exists in the hearts of men and women. The subjects of this kingdom are all who love God and acknowledge Him as King and willingly submit to His rulership over their lives. There's another kingdom in this world that is ruled by Satan. The subjects of that kingdom are all who hate God and reject His rulership of their lives. Now, some of these people you run into will say that they do not hate God. But if they do not acknowledge and submit to God as He has revealed Himself to us in His Word, they do hate Him. They may not hate the God that they have made up in their own minds, but they hate the true and living God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has revealed Himself to us in the Bible as He really is. This world in its natural state, since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, is the kingdom of Satan. He is the real ruler of this present world. Mark 1:14-15 says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" When Jesus came into the world, the kingdom of God was here in a way that it had never been here before, because the King Himself was here among us, living among us as a man, as one of us. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. That is, He preached, "Repent and believe in Him and enter the kingdom of God." To enter the kingdom of God is to become a citizen of heaven, to have eternal life and enjoy all of the benefits of salvation. To not enter the kingdom of God is to belong to a kingdom that is ultimately doomed for utter destruction. Now in Mark chapter 4, Jesus taught us about the kingdom of God in parables. A parable is an illustration, an analogy, a way of explaining something by way of comparison, by putting something else alongside of something to illustrate it. J.B. Lightfoot said, "A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. A parable uses something that you are familiar with to explain something that you don't understand. In this case, what we don't understand is the kingdom of God, but we do understand these stories about seeds and soils and lamps, and so Jesus uses them to explain to us spiritual truths about the kingdom of God." We have already talked about the parable of the soils last week, but we need to look at it again and put it together with these other parables that Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4 so that we can get a fuller picture, a fuller understanding of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God like? Well, first of all, the kingdom of God is spread by the proclamation of the Word of God. That truth comes from the parable of the sower and the soils. In His explanation of the parable of the sower and the soils, Jesus said the seed is what? The seed is the Word of God. Have you ever thought about this? When you hold the Word of God in your hand, you are holding the very instrument that God uses to build His kingdom and to spread His kingdom in this world. It has to be proclaimed, though. It has to be sown. It has to be put on a lampstand. And these parables talk about that. Secondly, the kingdom of God meets with a diverse response in this world. That is the main lesson of the parable of the sower and the soils. The Word of God is proclaimed. That is the sowing of the seed. The seed falls on all kinds of soil. The seed falls on hard soil. The seed falls on rocky soil. The seed falls on thorny soil. And the seed falls on good soil. Whether the seed will produce or not depends upon the type of soil that it falls on. The seed will not grow on the hard soil. The seed will spring up for a while in the rocky soil and then die because it can't put down roots. The seed gets choked out and smothered in the thorny soil because people are preoccupied with other things of the world. But the seed grows and thrives in the good soil. The different types of soil represent the different types of hearts that the seed of the Word of God falls on when it is preached. The type of heart that a person has who hears the Word of God determines the response to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is rejected by the hard-hearted people, rejected by the rocky-hearted people, rejected by the thorny-hearted people, but accepted and received by the receptive-hearted people who are represented by the good soil. The distinguishing characteristic of a true Christian, of true Christians, is that they listen to the Word of God. They hear it. They accept it. They love it. They believe it. They obey it. That's what distinguishes a Christian. A true believer will receive the Word of God. It finds a place in their hearts. They get it. They understand it. They embrace it. Paul says, the natural man understands not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. But on the other hand, we who are spiritual have the mind of Christ. We embrace divine truth. We understand it. We love it. We absorb it. We believe it. It shapes our thinking on everything. It determines the kind of life that we live. Jesus wanted His disciples to know that the kingdom of God would be rejected by many people. Don't get discouraged by that. But the kingdom of God will be accepted by some, and you can be encouraged by that. Thirdly, the kingdom of God must be made known in the world. This is the point of the parable of the lamp. Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not up on a lampstand? This is something that needs no explanation. This is an axiomatic truth. The very purpose of light is to shine, and it doesn't make sense to put it under a basket and try to hide it away somewhere. In other words, what our Lord is saying is if you've been given the light, you're supposed to let it shine. Or if you want to go back to the earlier metaphor of the seed and the soils, if you've been given the seed, then you're supposed to sow it. The disciples would have been familiar with the lamp metaphor because it is used many times in the Old Testament. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And there were other references to that in the Old Testament as well. So inherent in receiving the light is letting it shine. And inherent in being given the seed of the Word of God is to sow it. How is the Word of God to be made known? How is the light to be shown? We who have received it have an obligation to make it known. We are to put it on a lampstand and like a lamp, and we are to let it shine. It ought to be shining out of our lives. We are to take the seed of the Word of God and we are to go forth and sow it. We are to be scattering it everywhere we go. After Jesus had been crucified, raised from the dead, and ascended into heavens, the disciples obviously remembered this. The apostles and the men and the women who came to faith in Christ went everywhere proclaiming the Word. There's a wonderful example of that in Acts chapter 8, when persecution came to Jerusalem. Acts 8:1 says, "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." Persecution came to the Christians in Jerusalem. And the text is very clear that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but the Christians left the city and they went everywhere preaching. They went everywhere telling the good news. They went sowing the seed of the kingdom of God. They were putting the light of the kingdom of God on a lampstand to let it shine. Fourthly, the kingdom of God will grow inscrutably. This is the parable of the seed growing. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. How God's Word works in the hearts of men and women is beyond our understanding. It's beyond our control. That's what Jesus is saying in this parable. The farmer goes to sleep at night, and when he gets up in the morning, it's brought forth a crop. He can't explain it. And in one sense, having sown the seed, it's up to God. It's up to the Holy Spirit to bring forth that crop. He's not responsible anymore. He's responsible to pray, of course. He's responsible to water that seed with His prayers. He is responsible to do whatever humanly is possible to make that seed grow. That's what we are obligated to do, and I hope that's what we are doing. But how that seed brings forth life is a mystery that nobody can explain. Nobody can understand that. It is the mysterious work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, in quickening, in planting the divine seed and the divine truth in the hearts and lives of men and women. That actually takes a lot of stress out of personal evangelism. We are responsible to proclaim the gospel, but we are not responsible for the results. God will be responsible for the results. Well, fifthly, the kingdom of God will expand to the whole earth. This is the lesson of the parable of the mustard seed. The mustard seed is a very small seed. It's not the smallest seed known to man, but it was the smallest seed that that crowd in the land of Palestine was familiar with. And it grew into a rather large garden tree in comparison to the seed. The point of the parable is simply that something big grows out of something very small. That is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the kingdom of God. What was the kingdom of God when Jesus was sitting in this boat in the edge of the water on that lake that day? What was the extent of the kingdom of God at the time Jesus was speaking to the crowds at the lake that day? Well, there was a handful of disciples who didn't understand much of what he was saying. There were some in the crowd who had begun to put their faith in Jesus Christ. There weren't many in Jerusalem. It all began so small. But the small beginnings do not give you any indication where this is going. What began with those 12 disciples, a few women and a few others maybe, grew to probably about 500 by the time of the resurrection. It spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and throughout the entire Roman Empire. It spread over into Europe. And then it spread over into the British Isles. It spread from England to the 13 colonies of the New World. And then it spread across the United States. It is still growing and spreading to the uttermost parts of the earth today. The parable talks about a small mustard seed growing into a tree, and the birds of the air making nests in its branches. The reference to the birds nesting in its shade is taken out of Ezekiel chapter 17. And in Ezekiel chapter 17, you have a messianic prophecy that says, under the rule of the Messiah, nations will come to salvation. And the nations are pictured as birds coming to lodge in the tree of blessing. So that's borrowed right out of that Old Testament imagery. And so the birds are representative of the nations. This kingdom is going to start with Israel and expand, and the nations of the world will be a part of it as well. We've seen the kingdom expand, haven't we? Have we not seen the kingdom of God expand? We've seen it go to the ends of the earth. We've seen people from all nations coming into the kingdom. It is a marvelous thing to start out so small and to grow so big. The point of the parable of the mustard seed is that the kingdom of God, though it starts out small with Jesus and 12 disciples, ordinary fishermen mostly, yet it will grow and become larger and succeed, and in the end it will be gloriously triumphant. Taken together, the parables teach that the kingdom of God will meet with obstacles and opposition in this world. That's the way it will be all the way. It will be spread by preachers and missionaries and other ordinary Christians. It will grow inscrutably. And in the end, it will certainly succeed. It is to our advantage to hear carefully the message, to receive it with a heart of good soil, and to be in the kingdom when the harvest comes. Are you in it? Are you in the kingdom? Have you responded with a heart of good soil to the Word of God, to the gospel message? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ and embraced Him? Do you love Him with all your heart? May God give us ears to hear and hearts to respond to His Word. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for making us aware of what to expect when your word is preached. Give us, Lord, hearts of good soil to hear the word and to love the word and to believe the word and to embrace the word so that we can be in your kingdom. Let us not be slack in our obligation to sow the word and to put it on a lampstand to shine forth. Thank you that when all is said and done, your kingdom will be gloriously triumphant. Amen. And our final hymn.